Y'all rejoice in it? Anybody rejoice in it? Amen. Well, for all you that are rejoicing, just keep rejoicing, praising God. We've got some ups and downs and some sickness and things going on in the church, but we've got a mighty God, I'm telling you. The one we serve, and I mean, He can just, everything's in His hand. Everything that we've talked about today is in the hand of God, so we can rejoice. If you hadn't started rejoicing yet, I'll fill you in on something, and then maybe you can rejoice. We had a young man talk to us Wednesday night. Tyler Carroll was saved here about 2 weeks ago, right over here, confessed his sin and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Lord had worked on him, and he said, I want to be baptized into the body of Christ and be part of that church. And so we had planned for a baptism today. I've run the water. Now, y'all were going to have to vote, but I had confidence. I run the water. Yeah, I figured this young man stepped up here in front of you and told you that he's saved by the grace of God. Y'all were going to want him in the church. So I went ahead and run the water. Well, it came up, and it happened that he has got pneumonia. And so we're not going to be able to do the baptism today, but I'm sure we'll get it in because he had a desire. I like that when people get saved and God puts a desire to join, to come part of the body of Christ through baptism. And so that part of the service is not going to happen today. It will happen later. Now, what I was talking about, the rejoicing and the good news, I planned about 10-minute sermon. Now are you rejoicing? Amen. Amen. Now y'all are rejoicing. I'd planned about 10-minute sermon, so we'd get the baptism in and get on with the service. So if you wasn't rejoicing for, you can rejoice now, and I'll rejoice with you. Praise the Lord. I tell you, a good day in the house of God. I tell you, this is a fantastic song service, a testimony service. What? I believe that when people start speaking from their heart, God hears that, don't you? God's heard us this morning. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God has heard this congregation this morning, has heard from us. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? When I think about the words he heard, I thought about the short sermon, and I know it's not about how many words we speak. It's about the sincerity of our heart and how we bring them before God. And he knows our minds and our hearts already, whether we speak it or not. And I thought about this. I tell you what, I guess I need to make a confession about this. I don't know what y'all think about it, but I'm a big Rocky fan. Are you rejoicing over that? I'm not going to spend but a minute or two on this, but I'm a big Rocky fan, where he fought the in the ring, when he was fighting Apollo Creed. Rocky won. He nearly won that thing. He didn't have much ability, and he wasn't too good, but he was determined. He was determined. And, he almost won that thing. And when it ended, everybody felt good. And then here comes Rocky II. And, I just had to see this thing. And I'm going to tell you, I watched it again yesterday. I've watched it probably 800-900 times, what always amazes me about this, Rocky, a man of not very much ability. He's not very good at being a fighter, but he's determined. And, I see that sometimes in Christian life. Maybe we're not the best Christian in the world. Maybe we don't have the ability that other people have to sing or to speak or give testimony. But that determination, I'd see old Apollo Creed, he'd knock him down, he'd get up. He'd knock him down again, he'd get up. He'd knock him down, he'd get up. Kind of like Christian life, we get knocked down in life. But I'm preaching this morning, you need to just keep getting up and be determined. Now, Rocky II, he agrees to fight the champion again, and this time the champion's mad, and he's really going to wear him out and all this, and so be it. And about that time, Rocky's wife, goes into a coma, and it shows him night and day, sitting there beside her, right at her bedside, and he's supposed to be training for this fight. Well, his heart's just not in it, and he's supposed to be training for this fight this whole time. The manager even comes. He said, well, I'm with you. However it goes, I'm with you. And you get really involved in this thing, and his wife's laying there in a coma. And then one day, he's kneeling down beside her bed, and her finger moves. Just a finger. You know, it shows it. And about that time, you know, even us guys, you know, we wipe them tears out, you know, because we know the good's fixing to come. You know, we got feelings too. And that finger moves just a little bit, and then her eyes open, and he starts talking to her. And, you know, she was against this fight coming up when she had went into the coma. Well, when she comes to, you know, they bring the baby into the room, and her holding the baby, and I think, you know, okay. And then all of a sudden, he said, well, about this me mixing or me fighting with Creed, you know, if you don't want me to do that, I don't have to do that, you know. And she just looks at him. She said, when? Y'all saw that? Y'all ever think about that? That's all she said, one word. She said, when? And it changed the whole attitude of the training sessions and all. And you know the rest of it. He goes in, and although he gets beat up, and he's not as good as Apollo Creed, but he's determined. I'm promoting a bunch of Christians like that right here at New Salem Baptist Church, that we're determined. We might get knocked down, but I'm telling you, God's already listed and labeled us as winners. One word. She spoke one word, and it made the whole difference in the whole fight and situation. And I thought about the value of a word spoken here today. Whether there's many words or whether there's few words, but a word spoken that sometimes we hold to ourselves, and we fail to speak that word that somebody needs to hear. Brothers and sisters in Christ that's going through hardships and hard times and struggles in life. And I thought about what we might do with one word, because God multiplies what we do. I want to talk about the multiplication of God just for a few minutes. If you'll look with me in St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6, and we're going to talk about multiplication. We're going to talk about how God can take what we've got. Now, you think about that situation. This lady lays there. She speaks one word to Rocky. She says, when. When. And one word made all the difference in the whole situation. Oh, he went out and he wore the dude out. If y'all watched the fight, I mean, it was brutal. But, you know, to see the desire that he had, to see the determination that he was not going to quit. You know, when he comes back to that corner, he'd been knocked down three or four times. He goes back over there to that trainer and he says, I'm not going down anymore. That's the kind of determination we need in this church, that we're not going down anymore. That we're going to stand under the power of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit through this church. That we, as a church, as a body of Christ, stand up in an ungodly world. St. John chapter 6 and verse 1. St. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus, I tell you what, I'm crying so much I can't even read. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now it's setting a situation, you know, and showing that great multitudes were following him for the healing power that was demonstrated while he was on this earth. And then in verse 5 it said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, Jesus, when he was asking Philip a question, I've said this time after time, when God or Jesus ask a question, it's not for his knowledge, it's not for his understanding, it's for our understanding. And when he asked Philip this question, it was about Philip. It wasn't about Jesus. It said because he knew what he was going to do. Now, one of the other Gospels tell us that when Jesus looked out in the multitude, he said he had compassion on them. And I thought about the compassion that Jesus had on the multitude. They'd come out to worship. They'd come out to praise Him. He meant to see that they did not go away hungry. They were to go away fed. Now, when we come into this situation, we think about what's going on. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. Then when you go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this same Jesus has compassion on this multitude the same as He did on that multitude that day. Now, when a question was asked and Philip said, I don't know how we're going to feed all these people, because he was seeing things by man's vision. But when we start looking through spiritual eyes, I'm telling you, things change. A lot could be a little. We talked about the one word that encouraged Rocky to go win the fight. I'm telling you, that one word was probably multiplied by God as the way He can multiply things here today, that a little bit will be a whole lot in the eyes of God. Now, Philip answered him, said, 200 pennyworth of bread are not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And he's concerned. He said, we don't have money. We don't have the ability to feed all this crowd. I don't know what we're going to do. Jesus already knew what was going to take place and what was going to happen here. And one of the disciples answered, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And he looked at this and he said, this is nothing among the crowd. When Jesus looked at it, he saw it was going to be sufficient to feed everybody. Now, I want to talk about one young lad that had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He was willing to give what he had to feed the multitude. Now, we come down to the point of our Christian life. Are we willing to give what we have to the multitude? It may not look like much to us, but when we put our ability, when we put our care, when we put our desires in the hand of God, it becomes much. A little bit becomes a lot. It depends on whose hand you put it in. Are we keeping our ability to ourselves? Are we keeping our effort for the cause of Christ to ourselves? Or are we putting it in the hands of Jesus Christ, who has not changed? You put it in His hands and He'll make it sufficient. There's no telling what could happen and what takes place when we put what we have into the hands of God. 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes. Very little. This young man was willing to give what he had. I'm asking you today, are you willing to give what you have? I'm not talking money. We've got a lot of things more valuable than money. I'm not preaching tithing. That comes normal. That comes with Christians. I'm preaching the ability that God gives us to have to go out and witness to a lost and dying world, or set an example for one of our grandchildren that's been mentioned here, or one of our children, or one of our neighbor's children, whoever it might be, that if we're willing to put what we have and what God has blessed us with, when we put that back in the hands of Jesus, He can multiply it and make it a great thing. I love this example that's used about the young man. Young lad had 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes. He didn't worry about what he was going to eat. He said, give it to the crowd. He didn't worry about his own self. He said, give it to the multitude. Put it in the hands of Jesus and see what He can do with it. I want some folks here to get to the point in life, they say, I'm going to put it in Jesus' hands and see what He can do with it. In verse 9, it talks about the loaves and the fishes. In verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. Now you notice 5,000, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How far is that going to go? In the hands of God, it's going to feed them. And your ability is the same way. It may not look too much physical eye, but if you'll see things spiritually, in the spiritual eye that God gives us, it'll be a lot. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Praise God, it fed every one of them, the disciples, after Jesus blessed it. Now, you think about Jesus blessing the ability that we have, that God has given us to use, that we influence others, that they be faithful to God, that they believe on Jesus Christ, that they be faithful to the church. There's so many things that we have put in the hands of Jesus, and when He blesses that ability, when He multiplies that ability, it's going to be sufficient for what God planned for this church to do. God's got a plan for this church. I'm going to tell you, if I didn't think God had a plan for it, I wouldn't want to be part of it, would y'all? But God's got a plan that we go out into a lost and dying world and spread the gospel of the glorious Savior. That's our cause. That's our what God has called us to do. Now, when we think about how this came to pass, and all these 5,000 men, I don't know how many women and children were there, but I'm going to tell you, they were all fed and they were all filled. Not just partial, not just a little bit, but they got all that they needed, all they wanted. And then down here in the bottom of verse 12, when it said, gather up all the fragments that nothing be lost. Every time I read this, I begin to rejoice and thank God for this statement. He said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Your life may be broken. Your life could be shattered and you be here today, but God is not going to lose it. He's going to gather those broken pieces and those fragments and put them all back together again that nothing be lost. You might have something that just tore you apart, just tearing your heart out. But I'm going to tell you, God knows about all this. When Jesus said, gather up the fragments, I'm not going to lose anything. There's not one that's going to slip through the crack. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll take care of the need in your life. Now that's good news for a lost and dying world. That's good news for those that are living in sin and not turning to God for salvation. I'm telling you, God is concerned. Jesus was concerned that day. He said, I don't want you to lose any of these fragments, these broken pieces, these partials. He said, don't lose any of those. He said, gather them up that nothing be lost. And God is working on somebody here today. I feel the power and the Spirit of God going through the church, and there's somebody that's got a broken life. There's somebody here that's got fragments and been shattered, and God's going to put them all back together. And all you got to do is just come up and say, I've come to God today. I've come to God. Chris and Sue, y'all come up if you would. Chris is going to come up. I'd ask him to sing, I am blessed. And if you hadn't rejoiced yet, I'm going to rejoice while he's singing. Called, I am blessed by a God that loves me and cares for me. You're blessed by a God that loves you and cares for you. I'm going to get you all up to your feet while they sing this song. If anybody needs to come today for prayer, this altar's open. God is here. I don't have to give an altar call. God's already gave it. God's giving an altar call right now. He's saying, you come on. I've got something. I'm going to take care of you today. I'm going to fill your need just as Jesus filled their need. And if you've got a need, whatever it may be, to be saved, to join a church, to just rededicate your life, whatever it might be, God can handle the situation. And God right now is giving an altar call. He's going to sing, I am blessed. I tell you what, while he sings, you think about what God's done in your life. That he didn't leave you nor forsake you.